Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Folks, Robert Long, Director of Regulatory Affairs and Policy for the Center for Immigration Studies, joins us to talk about the stopgap funding bill that has some, how should I say, some unique pearls in it, and we'll talk about that. Robert, welcome to the show.
Hey, Noel. Happy to join you today.
Robert, I've always been an advocate of single-issue bills. That's not going to happen anytime soon in Congress, and the reason I am is because the more you people read it, the more they find out what's in it, and the less they typically like it. So this bill's no different, is it?
No, exactly. The government was on the verge of running out of money on Friday. And instead of just doing what we call in D.C. A clean bill that just says we're going to maintain the status quo of funding for a little bit longer while the chambers negotiate things, Democrats decided that they wanted to essentially reward President Biden's just reckless immigration policies. And in fact, they were bragging about including $7 billion for what they're now calling Afghan evacuees. You know, you may remember at the beginning of the fall, after the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, we were told these are refugees, these are special immigrants that all helped in the war. And then they allowed all of them to come into our country unvetted without any sort of a visa. And it, surprise, surprise, it turns out that this population doesn't qualify for any of these programs. And yet our Congress has decided that they should still get our taxpayer dollars. And so that's the first aspect of it, that in, as part of the bargain to keep the government functioning and running, is that the Afghan population and all of the special interest groups that help support them, the United States taxpayers are on the hook for $7 billion over the next 2 years.
So by referring to them as evacuees, obviously they're not sure if they're asylees, refugees, what they are. I did a cursory look to see if in the immigration law the word evacuee was there. I couldn't find it. It may be there. Do you know?
I'm pretty certain it's not there, but that's exactly what you see with this administration. They do not like the laws that are on the books, and so they're just creating their own preferred immigration system. And the Afghanistan debacle is one of the prime examples of that. This population doesn't meet any sort of immigration status under our laws, but the Biden administration just didn't care. They let them all board planes, flew them into our country, and said, we're going to figure it out later. And then as I learned a short time ago, instead of even doing the vetting here while they're on our military bases, the Biden administration made a decision to give them all work permits, cut them loose, and then said, oh, if something bad turns up in the background check, we'll address it later. And, of course, as you may know and your listeners may know, you know, there have been several instances of these Afghan evacuees who have been accused of raping people and committing other crimes in communities across our nation.
So also by utilizing this term evacuee, we know that we've had a number of Afghanis who have come across the southern border, right? So in theory, then they would qualify for some of the same assistance and aid under this bill.
It's certainly possible. I would say the way that the language was drafted would allow for the broadest possible interpretation for how the money is going to get spent, mostly because a lot of it is diverted to nonprofit and other non-governmental organizations whose, it's basically their business model is to prop up foreign nationals without any regard for the impact on American workers and the safety and security of American communities. So I think if you identify as an Afghan, even those who are maybe from the region and not actually from Afghanistan, I don't know how thoroughly these NGOs and nonprofits are going to be vetting you to see if you're eligible to, you know, basically kind of get like a paycheck, if you will, from them by way of our Congress spending American taxpayer dollars.
Any other pearls that we uncovered in this bill?
Yes, and another one, and thank you for asking, that was magically omitted from the press release and was hidden by way of various cross-references as to what the funding is. There's $1.6 billion to basically feed and shelter UACs. So again, instead of providing money and resources to the Border Patrol agents to actually secure our border and to ICE to enforce the law in the interior, instead, they hid $1.6 billion for the care of UACs to basically make their time here in the United States. And again, this is a population that doesn't qualify for any immigration status under the law, to ensure that they are living their best life while you still have countless American children in communities around our country who don't get three warm meals a day. They don't have access to the latest video games and books and comfortable beds and things like that. So again, this is the border crisis being rewarded by aiding the population that succeeded in being allowed into the country instead of actually giving additional resources to those who are tasked with defending our borders and enforcing our laws in the interior.
Robert, was this an attempt because what they've recognized, and for those in the listening audience, UAC is an acronym for unaccompanied children, that, you know, a lot of folks have just been pushing their kids across the border, and they don't have any family here. But they know that they're going to receive all of this funding, and this is a way of providing the sustenance for them because the administration keeps saying, well, we're placing them with family members. But that's not necessarily true, is it?
Not 100%. There are certainly some of these UACs, and thank you, I rattle off the acronyms too commonly, but yes, unaccompanied alien child. Some do have an illegal alien family member who's already in the country, whether it's a parent who came first or possibly overstayed a visa or maybe some other family member, again, typically living here unlawfully. But, you know, for those who showed up at the border as a family, and that was the one population that the Biden administration was kind of enforcing the law against for a period of time, they got turned away. Then the parents would often then just pay the smuggler and say, take my kid instead. So essentially this notion of we're separating kids, these families were choosing to self-separate because they knew that the children were being allowed into the country. And essentially by way of funding, further funding beyond what's necessary for just, you know, standard humanitarian care, this goes above and beyond. This is kind of your extras. This is almost putting the federal government in charge of these children's lives. You know, it's the next level of, you know, the nanny state and making, you know, illegal alien children the wards of the federal government by way of, you know, how we're housing them, feeding them, and now giving all this extra money on top of it instead of actually enforcing our laws and discouraging people who don't have a legal immigration status from taking the journey to our southern border.
And I think to put this in context, y'all do a great job of this. So we're talking about $8.6 billion total in what's been, I guess I can say, hidden in this bill. The state of Delaware's entire yearly budget is $4.7 billion. So when you put it in context, we're providing more money to those crossing the border illegally than than our citizens in the entire state of Delaware, almost double.
Exactly. It's very close to double. I'm an attorney by trade, so the numbers, the math game gets a little complicated, but it's close. It's very close to double. And, you know, we tried to point that out in our piece just to provide that little bit of perspective. And, of course, Delaware, you know, home state of the president. And you see that basically this administration seems to be operating on a blank check for every single one of their policies. And you see it here in the immigration stuff. That, you know, they say, oh, we can't enforce the law or we're refusing to enforce the law because we don't have the resources for it. Well, they clearly don't want those resources because $8.6 billion, if you're going to address immigration, could fund a lot of detention beds. It could help hire more Border Patrol agents and, you know, even, God forbid, actually build more of the border wall and put in place other mechanisms to streamline the removal. But that's not how this administration views immigration. It's only a one-way operation where it's getting as many aliens, legal or other or illegal, into the country and then sort of propping them up.
So not only are we burying this money in these bills and hope that no one reads it and talks about it, because very few people are, one of your peers... Naylor Rush wrote an article on restricted access to refugee statistics. And it seems as though they're not being very transparent like they used to be, because I've been in poured over these refugee reports in the past. They don't even want to let you know anything about the people that are coming in, who they are, what they're about, you know, this, that, or otherwise. There was a whole lot of demographic data that was given. I'm sure you're familiar with this article. But it's almost as if this is a concerted effort on all fronts to just not be transparent about this issue at all.
You're exactly right. And Naila's piece, which you know, your listeners can find at cis.org along with the rest of our work product. You know, we were told during the 2020 campaign that if elected, the Biden administration would be the most transparent administration ever. And yet, especially in the immigration space, they are hiding data, they are refusing to release data, and it's intentionally done, I believe, to prevent the American people from realizing just how bad it is. So they're not releasing information about who the refugee population is, because I believe that that population that's actually qualifying for refugee status looks very different than those who the Biden administration and their allies in the media claim are refugees, but who are in fact actually economic migrants. You see the same thing with the border numbers. Every single month, it was getting later and later and later into the next month before they were releasing the data. And the only reason they were doing that was to avoid the scrutiny of, look at how bad it was month after month after month. There's even reports that the political appointees at the Department of Homeland Security have squashed a population estimate of the legal alien total population in the United States. And this is something that is a report that Congress directs DHS to issue. When I worked at U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services in the Trump administration, that report was widely circulated and published. Of course, those numbers vary by other sorts of groups, but they're snuffing out any sort of government data because I think it all looks very bad for the policies that this administration supports but does not have any backing from the American people.
Yeah, I think at one point the number was, 12 to 13 million illegals in the country. I always thought it was understated. In fact, a lot of the folks that I talked to in immigration thought the number realistically was somewhere around 21 to 22 million.
Yeah, I know the most common estimates sort of fall in that 11 to 13 million range. But, you know, that's one of the things. It's inherently difficult to figure out. But the fact that a report was done by people who are at least somewhat qualified to make sort of a best guess estimate and it's being squashed, makes you wonder what really is the number that they've now come out with. It must be extraordinarily higher than previous estimates for them to go to such lengths to obstruct its ability from entering the public discourse.
Yeah, that might be a better bet than Secretariat, quite frankly. But nonetheless. Robert Law, thank you so much for your time and your insight. Truly appreciate your writing. Have a great week.
Thank you. You as well, sir.
All right. It's Robert Law, Director of Regulatory Affairs and Policy at the Center for Immigration Studies. We will be right back. 504-260-1870. Stay with us, folks.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, folks, we're back on the text line. Well, wasn't it the Republican who said, why didn't Biden get more Afghans out of the country once again? The Republicans talk out of both sides of their necks, not their mouth. Okay. So the reality of talking about in the language here, just so that we can get this correct, is that they utilize this language as Afghan evacuees. Why? Because the other categories that these Republicans that you allude to were talking about, namely those that helped the military and those that actually had status in the U.S., those were the ones that they were talking about trying to get out first. And then to get all of the, and of course, Americans. Well, that didn't happen. Because of the rush on the airport, it wasn't done in an ordered way, and we ended up with a lot of people that we don't know about. We didn't vet them. We didn't do the background on. And then when we got here, and they didn't want to make the decision of having to send anybody back once they recognized that they didn't have the folks that had status here, whether it be refugee or otherwise. So they changed the language in the bill to say evacuees. So I asked Mr. Law, who's an expert in immigration, as to whether or not evacuee is actually in the law. I went and looked, did a cursory review, couldn't find it as a category recognized. So we are appropriating money in this country to categories that allegedly don't exist because we don't know what it is that we have. That was the criticism by Republicans. And the fact of the matter is, these are tough decisions. There's no doubt about that. But this is how we bootstrap things in this country, and then we, 10, 20 years later, we're still trying to correct it. Because it should not have happened in the first place, which is the same approach that we're taking relative to DACA, DAPA, all of the illegal immigrant status problems that we face, that we've created. And when I say we, both sides of the aisle, not just one, they're equally guilty. And now we're trying to figure out a bootstrap. Well, it doesn't align in existing law, the bootstrap. And therein lies the problem, is that there's a huge difference of opinion as to whether we should wave a magic wand and make all of this go away. Because then how many more times are we waving the magic wand? because we're not willing to come together and decide that we're going to be serious about protection of our borders, which, by the way, pretty much every other country does. Go try and do what's being done here in another country as an American, and you're going to be in for a rude awakening. They don't care that you're from the greatest power in the world. In fact, they could care less. Because a lot of our ally countries are serious about their borders. They're serious about protecting the homeland. They're serious about providing a safe and secure place for their citizens to live. And this issue is not only a hot-button issue here in this country, it is huge in Europe, because there are those that want to break down the barriers to have a free-flowing migration of people across the world. But by the same token, they're trying to keep their own economies afloat. And everyone is recognizing, not that they didn't recognize it before, that to create that balance is real difficult. In fact, it's pretty damn ugly. And it's going to be interesting to see where this all ultimately ends up. We've been talking about the crime issue a lot on this show. And it continues to confound people across the country. In fact, another university, Winthrop University, somebody broke into a dorm, sexually assaulted a student. They were one of the ones that were on the defund, reimagine police train. Well, they jumped off at the first available station because now it's starting to impact them. And this past Friday night, several dozen university students sat in protest in front of a large banner that read, "Winthrop University is not safe." And they demand that this be addressed immediately. Freshman Robin Spigner says that the change must be made. "We trust that when we're paying $30,000 a year to be here, that we're going to be protected." But he said, "We're not. We're not protected enough. We don't feel safe in our dorms." It's amazing, though, they don't talk much about where they were 8, 9, 10 months ago and what they were talking about and what they hoped that would happen in this country. And now they're beginning to connect the dots. They're beginning to connect the dots that this is not a good thing as to what they were proposing, and now they're feeling the ills of same. We have the most recent crime stats. We will break 200 here probably before the end of the week, if not by Thursday. We're at 198 homicides as of today, a 10% increase over last year, an 80% increase over the pre-pandemic year 2019. We're up to 453 shootings year-to-date. That's a 16% increase over last year and a 93% increase over 2019. 258 carjackings, a 169% increase over 2019, the pre-pandemic year, 23% increase over 2020. Armed robberies are down, thankfully. They're down by 20 armed robberies, 357 armed robberies. You realize that's more than one armed robbery a day. Year-to-date last year was 377. In 2019, it was 398. That's a 10% reduction. Auto thefts, 2,862 auto thefts. It's down 5% over last year, up 9% over 2019 year-to-date. So when you look at these numbers, what always jumps out at me in these five categories, right? homicide, shooting, carjacking, armed robbery, auto theft. You're talking about somewhere in the neighborhood, I'm doing a little quick math here, about 1,200, about almost 4,000 crimes in those five categories. And yet we have, and you're going to have an opportunity to vote in a sheriff's race this weekend. And we have a sheriff's candidate that believes the jail ought to be 500. She said it right here on this show, Susan Hudson. She said, I asked her, I said, what is the optimal number in your mind as it relates to the size of the jail? 500. In these five categories, in a single year, we have almost about 4,000 offenders. There may be some duplications. So let's say it's 10%, right? So we're now down to 3,600. Right? If you want to make it 20%, make it 20%. It doesn't matter. Does anybody really believe out there that 500 is the number? Do you really believe that you're going to set about deterrence and that you're not going to be compelled to do overcrowding releases every single day? And trust me, I know about those, because in Jefferson Parish, we've been doing it for years and we spend a boatload of money objectively grading the propensity of violence of everybody that we release out of jail. When we were making, when I was sheriff, 29,000 felony arrests a year. And our UCR Part 1 crime offenses were only at, not only, but they were around 13,000. The city of New Orleans is just below 24,000. So if you have a high confidence level in the ability of this individual who believes it ought to be 500 to set up the criteria necessary to make releases, then that's where you need to go vote. But if you don't, and you're worried about the safety and security of your family, you're worrying about the equity in your home, in the valuation of your home, because you're worried about the crime rate here, and you're worried about whether or not people are going to respond like they are in L.A., they're now trying to recall George Gascon, the progressive D.A. there, because they're crying uncle. They've had enough. They are done. Now the mayor of L.A. even has changed his tune. The chief in L.A. has changed his tune. The sheriff there has been singing off that sheet of music since day one, that they've got to go out and identify and selectively incapacitate the impact criminal, and if they need more beds, they damn well better build them, because they're not going to have the impact that they need to have. And they're dealing with smash and grab, and guess what? The threshold in California is $50 less than it is in Louisiana. You don't reach a felony theft here until you have $1,000 in value. They're at $950, and they want to go lower because they said this is not working. And this whole no bail nonsense, where we'll just have a revolving door and let people roll back out and go and pillage your property, steal your property, do whatever, whenever, however. We had a couple of folks, I think, that ran out of gas here in New Orleans. And got held up. The shootings continue. The murders continue. And we're trying to convince people that 500 beds is the way that we ought to go. And I would point out what was said on this show as well, is that the largest number of folks managed by this candidate was 10. 10. That doesn't bode well. But if you're not interested in the safety and security of your family, if you happen to run out of gas on the I-10 and you're okay with people pulling up, guns in your face, ransacking your vehicle and stealing your property. Actually, they didn't have a gun, so let me stand corrected. But stealing your property nonetheless, a simple robbery. You know where to vote then. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And don't forget, at the top of this hour, we'll be giving away that Disney cruise, Caribbean cruise, 4, 5, or 6 nights. Your choice. We'll give you the code word, and you go to WWL.com/contest and enter that word in order to enter into this contest. So good luck from us. We'll be doing that shortly. Let's go to the talk lines. Bill, you're up. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Noel, I needed to ask a question. The incompetence of the city of New Orleans just amazes me sometimes. And they're trying to put on a secondary mayor for quality of life. Wouldn't that be the same thing as we took 8 or 16 offices and made them quality of life, and that's all they handle is quality of life? Or is it just because if they do it in the mayor administration, they get to hire a whole bunch of people at exorbitant salaries? It's just another way to filter off money in the city of New Orleans. Your comment.
Well, it's not just about law enforcement. I mean, there are folks that, need assistance from the city that predominantly work nighttime hours only. They're not open during the day, and they need folks to be able to accommodate having, you know, them show up while they're during their hours of operation. How they go
about
it.
You need a whole mayor staff and everything? I mean,
I think that would be two or three people added. Nah, but I think that's just a term of art, okay? I don't know that it's going to be a whole separate administration. I certainly hope not. They can't afford it. It would be. I understand what they're trying to accomplish. I think it's a good idea. Anytime you can make it more accessible for businesses to communicate and citizens to communicate with city government because of the confines of what they find, their work schedules and other things like that, makes sense to me.
Well, it'd probably be a good idea to take half of the people that are in City Hall now and move them to a night shift, because if you've ever dealt with the city of New Orleans at City Hall, you may have 10 people back there and only one person at the counter. Everybody else is giggling, laughing, and having a good time. I think we could save a lot of money. We just move half of those people in a night shift. They can goof off at night shift instead of the day shift.
Yeah, that's my opinion. How they go about doing it, that's a different topic, but I don't know, and I don't think they revealed just yet what it's going to entail. But thank you, Bill, for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Jimmy. Jimmy, you're up. Welcome to the show. Let's go to Hank. We lost Jimmy. Hank, you're up. Welcome to the show. Hank, go ahead. All right. Looks like we lost him in connection as well. All right. We got to get to a break. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. All right, folks. When we come back after top of the hour news, we'll visit with Cynthia Lee Shang, president of Jefferson Parish. We'll talk about some of the property tax millages that are on the ballot on December the 11th and the importance of same. So stick with us. We'll be visiting with Cynthia Lee Shang. All right. It's time to play Disney Claus. We're giving away this trip. We've been doing this for over a week now. And WWL wants to give you the best Christmas gift ever, a Caribbean Disney Cruise Line family vacation where imagination meets adventure with everything from Disney characters, Broadway quality shows, imaginative dining, and exclusive spaces for adults and kids alike. The Disney Christmas code word this hour is Snowflakes, SNOWFLAKES. Now go to WWL.com/contest and enter Snowflakes every weekday right before the top of the hour news at 9, noon, and 3 p.m. Listen for the new Disney Christmas code word and your chance to win a Disney cruise.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.